I don't buy the idea that, you know, the society the way it is right now, it has to be this way.
Welcome to Rewrite the Rules with your host, Alex Starr.
So many of us choose our path out of fear disguised as practicality.
It's time to live life on your own terms.
What do you really want?
Good evening, everybody. I got to get myself amped up for this because I'm always recording these at night, I'm realizing. It's 11 p.m., so then when I listen to myself later, I realize how quiet and non-excited I am in the intro for these. So I'm working on that. Today's guest is my friend Connor Moore, who is a podcaster here in Austin, Texas. His podcast is called The Realness with Connor Moore, where he and his guests explore the beautiful mess called life with unapologetic authenticity and no shortage of strong language. So saw kind of Connor out and about, and we got to sit down at the park, and man, we just kind of go into a little bit of everything, relationships, really just life. I mean, this guy can talk and have a conversation like almost no one I have ever seen. And so we just kind of hit the ground running and just have a real, real fun conversation. I know you guys will dig his style and check out his podcast when you get a minute. You can subscribe to the podcast if you're digging it, you know, leave a review on iTunes and just, you know, tell your friends when people are asking for a suggestion for a podcast. Oh man, I am fucking up this intro. I'm going to post it though. If you enjoy it, it would mean the world to me to just suggest it and get the word out there. And guys, I hope you enjoy this podcast. I got amazing ones coming up with all types of people, and hope you all have an amazing week. I am going to stop talking before I mess this up even more. See ya. Connor, what's up, baby?
Dude, I'm actually really stoked about this setting for the show.
It's nice, right?
Yeah.
For all the listeners, we are underneath a beautiful, you're the one from Texas. What is that, an ash tree? This is an ash?
I don't even know, man. It's magical, though. It's a magical great, being. Dude.
Sunset, Barton Springs.
I'm reading this book called The Hidden Life of Trees right now, and you wouldn't think that would be something you pick up. It's fascinating.
Dude, trees are incredible.
They're so cool. Yeah. They're like some of the coolest living species on
the
planet.
They communicate underneath the ground by like the bacteria,
mycelium. Soil is about, I think it's like 40% mycelium, which is like mushrooms.
Yes,
and
exactly.
They use mushrooms to soak up more water through the root system. And the way they communicate and the way they kind of power play for sunlight is, it's incredible. It's crazy. Like I'm listening to that. I'm reading this book called Iron John, and I'm listening to this 12-hour course on Buddhism. Between those three things,
do you ever read so many books at once where you like, or listen to things where you're like, you tell your friends, yeah, I heard this. I have no fucking idea where I heard it.
Dude,
I read it somewhere on the internet or on a book or an audio thing or like a podcast, but this is what I know.
Exactly, man. And that happened to me the other day. It was like either Zeus said this about masculinity or the Buddha said this about enlightenment. I don't know, but it resonated. I don't know what it was. It was like,
but
this
it was
is,
awesome.
This is good. It was, somebody important said this to somebody else important.
Yeah, 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 man.
But yeah, I mean, it's funny because you get immersed in that knowledge, and it's like that's where podcasts like Fighter and the Kid come in handy, because it's just hilarious, or Theo Vaughn, or these guys where it's like, okay, I can, if I wanted to take a break from, you know, going back between the masculine role in our life and Buddhism, I can just put on, you know,
dude, so
Brian Callen and get weird.
Yeah, no, dude, I love Brian Callen.
He's such a funny guy.
Yeah, I fucking love that guy, dude. I read Iron John, or I started it.
Okay,
which is, it's a book about masculinity,
yeah,
right?
A book for men.
Dude, I couldn't get into it.
Okay.
I got a third of the way in, and I've read other books like that. I've read The Rational Male and The Way of the Superior Man.
Way of the Superior Man's a clutch book.
That's a great book, but Iron John, dude, a third of the way in, I just got over it.
It's weird.
So what kept you going?
You're right. It got recommended to me enough, and I'll do that with a book. If I'm like, I want to finish this book, I'll put it on Instagram. So I'll put it on Instagram, and now...
Oh, just to hold yourself accountable?
Yeah. So and people really engage with that.
I have a friend
highly.
That's doing that, by the way, of losing weight. She's posting, really? like
That's huge.
Very personal pictures of herself, overweight stretch marks, and she's using it to hold herself accountable, and it's working tremendously.
It's getting people on board, man. Getting people on board and having them engaged in your story is incredible. I mean, Instagram, by all accounts, is garbage. But if you can use it appropriately, like, it's fantastic. And if you can provide value, like, that's one thing I said as I've been in this content game for a long time is, people are going to be looking at their phones anyways, all the time. I might as well give them something to look at that doesn't suck. Yeah. You know, so with that in mind, I really love engaging people in these books and sharing them and doing YouTube book reviews is the next step that I'm taking on the content generation side.
Okay, nice.
So that's really exciting. So I get books like The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck, 12 Rules for Life. I'm going to do Iron John. But the secret to Iron John is what I was going to get at here is that it gets a little bit esoteric about a third of the way through, and I'm a little over halfway, I think, now, and I just get to this point where I started getting excited.
Okay, it took halfway.
So I started getting...
patience for it, man.
I was getting that feeling like, oh, cool, what's next? And I was like, I didn't want to put it down versus like forcing it.
What if that's part of the test? What if that's part of the test of the book?
Such is life.
Only like the guys who are willing to get past that point are going to be willing to accept the message the second half of the book.
Exactly.
What if it's like an undercurrent of the entire...
Well, dude, what that's worth doing doesn't suck for a little while, right?
True, man. Everything,
you got to throw yourself... And that's when he talks about... Did you get to the part where he talks about the ashes?
I was not paying that much attention to it at all. I was reading it, I couldn't get into it. It was one of those books, man. And you know what's cool is I got it from... one of those free little libraries. Have you seen those around neighborhoods?
Yeah, I've seen
some
of those.
Where it's like you leave a book and you take a book.
Yeah.
And people recommended me Iron John. I stop at this little library. I'm going for a jog. I take a look. There's Iron John. I say, this is perfect. This is meant to be. Nope. A week later, I'd fucking put it back.
You gotta just get the Audible and just crush it out.
Yeah, no, that's true.
I mean, because there's some good stuff in there, and it gets a little bit like there's some mysticism for sure, but it's fun. It's a fun book once you get through that piece.
So what are you learning about masculinity?
You also get to. I'll get into that in a second. You also get to get engaged with that story, like the way they spray. I love that when I used to love this in college. It's just so strange. It seemingly from the outside is this, I've always said I've kind of been this bridge between like meathead culture and personal development or like bro culture and
you must love Joe Rogan.
Oh yeah, exactly. Yeah, right? Just right like in that same vein.
He's like our God.
So I was like exactly. He's like the DD CrossFit CrossFit. No, of
he's the bridge.
He's the bridge for people
the younger generation.
Dude, exactly. All over the place. Man. But I, in our English lit class after, it's like English lit after 1776, after the revolution, I loved that class, dude. It was 500 person class. It was a 500 person class at Texas State. And I loved it. Like he would only call on people in class that had a hat on. And I would wear a hat to that class every day. And finally I called on one time and he didn't let me finish what I was going to say. And I was like so excited, but I would tutor all my like fraternity brothers and the sorority girls that were in that class. So we'd be breaking down poems because I didn't really understand like archetypes and what a peach or a flower actually meant in a poem, right? It was like they could only see it for what it said, not what it meant. And there was something about that really like geeked me out. That's why I love Westworld. And I think that's why I'm starting to get excited about Iron John.
Like
because,
a puzzle that you can solve.
Yeah. It's like, what was this person languaged and expressed themselves in a way that resonated so deeply that it still exists long after they're gone.
Right.
So what were the feelings and emotions that drew them to create this piece of art? That's why people love art. I think that's why people love old music. It's really, and this is where I get kind of geeked out, is self-expression, and the value of self-expression in our world is infinite. Because that really is the way you bring yourself to the world. Like if you can see that the way that you're perceiving the world is really a reflection of you, then self-expression becomes extremely important. And understanding who the fuck you are and bringing that person forward becomes really, really valuable to you.
And it's a quest.
Yeah,
it's a constant quest, isn't
it? And it sucks for a little while, just like some books.
It does, yeah. Well, because you know, a big part of it too is I think the biggest struggle for a lot of people, including myself, is in order to find yourself, you have to strip away all the layers first.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to strip away things that you might be really, really, really attached to in terms of your identity, right?
Yeah.
And like Buddhism does that all the time, right? Like attachment to things.
You are no thing.
Yeah, but it's like, it's the identity, I think, a lot of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is like, you think of yourself, like you just said before the podcast started, oh, I'm like a relationship type of a guy.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like, and before this, I always thought of myself, it's like I got a girlfriend 6 months ago. I was always thought of myself as like the guy that was single. And my friends, your friends and your family reflect those types of things back to you. And then you solidify them back to yourself.
Exactly.
And it becomes this thing. And then at the end of the day, you're like, this is just who I am.
It's so funny you say that about the relationship thing, because I used to be like, yeah, man, I really don't want to be in a relationship. And I just kept getting in them. And my buddy was like, maybe you actually do. And I was like, oh, maybe I do. Yeah. So it was like I was like projecting a false identity. And it was somebody else outside of me. And I think that's something that to expand on that, it's really important to have people outside of you that can see you clearly and truly, right? Because if people are buying your bullshit all the time, you just create an echo chamber for this identity that your ego has created. And then you end up with a lot of confirmation bias and a lot of like, I feel this way. And they're like, you should feel that way.
Yeah.
You know, even that way is completely toxic and maybe like stooped in narcissism or some other kind of shit. Like it becomes crazy. And it's like, well, dude, that's ideas and personality take friction to be shaped. And that's something that you can embrace that. And that's kind of a stoicism Buddhist practice as well, is like really understanding that there is this like constant, I want to say suffering is what Buddhists say it, but it's like friction of life.
Peterson type of thing right there, right?
Dude, the most beautiful thing about life is you get to choose what you'll sacrifice.
Yeah.
And people don't like hearing that. I think, especially in the spiritual culture, like it's hard to bridge that gap. Like that's a big one, because I'm like, well, life is kind of choose by what you'll suffer for. I've said that so many times. Your life is designed, by what you're willing to suffer for and sacrifice for.
Sacrifice, yeah.
Yeah,
I think suffer as such a strong word. You just think of Jesus.
Yeah,
you think of this image of like someone just, you know, watching their loved ones die.
Exactly.
It's suffering, right? Now, sacrifice. Sacrifice is doable.
Well, when I think about sacrifice, I think about Jesus.
Jesus has all of them.
Yeah, right. When I think about, and this is funny because this language becomes very important as well. But and when I think about suffering, I think about Buddhist suffering, which is like suffering comes from attachment.
Right.
So it's like that's to me. I'm not like suffering.
You're thinking of
like,
internal suffering.
Exactly. Okay. I'm thinking about a suffering that's generated by the world and the life that we have perceived and that we believe, the drama that we believe is playing out.
Right.
That is really
or dying into your identities and stuff like that.
Your identity, exactly.
Suffering 'cause of that.
Yeah. That you don't really have a self. Like this is just it's an idea, you know, and at the end of life or whenever you transcend that, it goes into something else. And that's something that in this course, this Buddhism course, is really, really cool is the way he explained samsara, so like the cycle of life and death,
right?
And essentially, what they would explain nirvana as the ending of samsara, right? So you're in this like karma of regeneration, and the way he explained it, I never heard it like this before. He was like, "It's like the last flickering flame of a candle touching another candle." And one burns out and gives the next candle its life, and that's the next life. And that one burns all the way down. And then life is like this flame. It just dances and changes constantly all the way to the very bottom. At the very end, the very last embers of that wick, it touches the next one. And that's the cycle of samsara. And then nirvana is the blowing out of the flame. And I was like, wow, that was really profound.
Great metaphor.
Oh man, I was like tripping out about it. I thought it was so beautifully said. Of course, this guy's friends with the Dalai Lama in some way, or he's met him at least a handful of times.
He's
so
the next level.
He's pretty woke, because they
say. Yeah, some of those people.
If you teach Buddhism and spirituality at Harvard, like you probably got it together.
Yeah, and you're like in it, you know?
Yeah.
You're in it. If that's your life is figuring out the different levels of Buddhism, you know, like that's all you're thinking about. You're not thinking about Instagram and like social media marketing.
Yeah.
You know?
You're in that realm. That's social media marketing and Instagram have been the friction that I need for my spiritual practice. I'm like, I could.
It's a great way to look at it, man.
The Dhammapada, and it's this teachings of the Buddha. And I was going to get on my phone. I was like, oh, I'll wait. When I was waiting for you, I got here a little early. It's like, oh, I'll jump on Instagram. And I was like, no, I can literally do anything else. I could just sit there without doing anything, and it would be better for me than looking at fucking Instagram.
I was practicing the exact same thing sitting on the bench over there of like, I stretched and watched people in Barton Springs.
Yeah.
You know, the best way that I have found to not look at that shit, because it's like a drug, and if I have it, I'm going to take it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, put a little cocaine in my pocket. Like, There's going to be quite a few hours, and all of a sudden I'm going to say yes eventually.
Yeah, it's always
like,
there, yeah.
Yeah, like a cake on the counter, right? Yeah, like, exactly. Eventually I'm going to take a bite. So the best way I found is I just leave it in the car. Or dude, I just leave it at home places, you know?
Some girl I was on a date with a while back was so impressed that I left my phone at the table when I went to the bathroom.
Because what do we all do?
Yeah.
I will go to the urinal sometimes. I will pull out at the urinal.
It's so weird.
You've never done that before?
I mean, I've done it, but yeah. It's not as common as, I don't know. It's not that common for me, but man, it's the attachment to these things. Again, think about the amount of suffering that's created by that attachment.
Yeah, man.
Even your friend. So your friend that is losing all this weight and putting her journey out there, like, that's going to inspire a lot of people, but there are a percentage of people that would be like, oh man, I wish I could do that. I could never do that. And then start comparing themselves and then get themselves into the emotional eating and these different things. And it's funny because we compartmentalize life so much,
mm-hmm.
but really it's all just one thing or no thing, but it's all one. And it's like, well, this is my fitness and this is my job. And this is the way that I do my friend. This is the way I interact with my friends. And this is the way that I have my, you know, my partner. And this is the way I treat my kids. And, you know, goes on and on. And really it's, if you view that through the lens that how you do anything is how you do everything, holy shit, that gives you so much ownership over how you bring yourself to the world.
Yeah, that's a fantastic quote. You talking earlier too about nothing and something made me think of one of my favorite quotes in the world, which is, love is knowing you are everything. Wisdom is knowing you are nothing. Between the two, your life moves.
Who said that?
I have no idea.
Oh my God.
But I love it.
I want a podcast with whoever said that.
I know,
go back,
right?
Your time.
We can look it up when it's over, but I love that quote, man.
That's beautiful.
It is, man.
Well, isn't there something so funny about the teeter-tottering back and forth of relevance and lacking relevance and getting caught into that whole world?
In what way?
Easy example. It's far and away. Childhood stars, like actors.
Okay.
Like, it's going from relevance to lack of relevance and, like, in having your entire...
I feel bad for those people.
I just feel terrible for them. I feel terrible for them,
there
dude.
Always has been, even though they could be a doctor now. It's like, oh, they used to be NSYNC. Yeah. Now,
dude, somebody actually saw the kid that played Anakin Skywalker on episode one is, like, completely lost it. He's in a psychiatric ward.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, it's a terrible movie, so it makes sense.
Yeah, well, it was a lot of mistakes that happened
shit
in that,
movie,
in
yeah,
that,
right.
around those movies.
Yeah, he got stuck with Darth Maul. Not his fault. Not his fault.
But yeah, there's like this weird, like that's an easy, it's like you don't know any other reality besides you get conditioned. And so as I was talking about earlier with expression, I feel the same way about experience. Like, I think there's this influx between experience and then you have the present moment and then you have expression, and your expression is influenced by your experience. So if you have boundaries on your experience, if you have boundaries on how you express yourself, if you have boundaries on the context that you're gaining through the life that you live, then you're lacking the ability to express yourself fully a lot of times. There's things in the world for all of us, and this will be the case for everyone that lives, that you would love to do that you don't know exist. And if you live in your loop, you're going to miss a lot of those things. Mm-hmm. And you're never going to get all of them, but you might be able to, by releasing an agreement that you maybe unconsciously made early in your life by just a little bit of self-reflection, if you can release that and open it up yourself to new experiences, and this is small stuff, then you can express yourself more fully, bring yourself more full to the world, let go of things that don't serve you anymore because you don't have enough room for them. It's like, man, I've got more awesome stuff now, and this thing that like seemed awesome once like doesn't really seem awesome anymore, and I get to, wow, man, I get to like let that thing go, and that's, holy shit, that's a part of me that's gone. Well, shit, now there's more space here that I can like add in more things that I like, and that's the continual evolving of life. And it's so fun to see that happen. And to feel that happen. And it's also extremely challenging. Sometimes it's like ripping your finger off.
Yeah. Well, it's just that tough onion layer.
Yeah.
You got to scrape it off with a knife.
Exactly.
So I talked about this on the last podcast I did too, but about, I was reading these books and I was watching this documentary called No Impact Man.
Yeah.
And he's the guy I had on my podcast. And he was talking about the stories we tell ourselves, right? Which is very similar to what you're saying, right? Identities and the stories we tell ourselves. And can you reevaluate these things? And I was in the shower after I watched the movie, and I was thinking about stories I tell myself. And then I was like washing my hair, and I was like, you know what? I really want to go get a haircut. And I was like, no, I need to wait 3 months because I only get my haircut every like 3-4 months. And then I realized, I was like, but I like the way it feels after I get my haircut. I could just go next week and get it. And yeah. I swear to God, it's so stupid, but it was such a good example
yep.
of like just reevaluating and being like, I don't have to keep making that decision just because it's what I've always done. And yeah, it's so dumb and simple as a haircut, but then you think, well, what in a bigger picture am I doing? I
was about to say, what did that bleed into? Did you question things a little bit more in other parts of your life after that experience?
Yeah, I mean, I always try to a little bit, but nothing big has come up since. I think a lot of it sometimes is like, you know, even coming down, it's simple. It's small things for me. Like, what am I going to eat? And it's like, well, I usually eat this, so that's what I'm going to eat.
Yeah.
When it's like, I don't, that doesn't have to continue.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
or like the relationship thing was a big one for me.
Yeah.
I'm always single. And then I started liking this girl, and I was like, no. I haven't told her. I was like, no. I don't do boyfriend, girlfriend thing. And then my friends, like you were saying, said, don't be a fucking idiot. What are you doing? And I was like, nah, you're right.
Yeah. Because
and now it's great.
So identity is so crazy. Yeah. It's funny because I'm seeing someone now, and I was in a relationship for like a year and a half, and I've been single for like, I don't know, 6 months. And then I kind of get in this thing, and I'm like, we're exclusively dating, you know, but I don't want to use like boyfriend and girlfriend. She's like, this makes no sense. She's like, I'm cool with it, but it doesn't make any sense at all. And I'm like, I don't feel like I'm scared. Like, I don't want that label on me. Cause last time it's like, I have like this weird connotation with it in my own life. And it's like, I totally see that. And I'm like, well, but I think there's part of me that was just like, yeah, you know what? It doesn't make any sense. It's kind of irrational. So I'll just ignore it. But there's something that I've taken on over the past couple of years was like when it came up, I'm like, okay, this isn't irrational. Like my feelings come from somewhere. Let me evaluate this and kind of see where it's coming from. Cause I don't want to do something out of just pure like objective reasoning only. Like I do want to account for and feel my feelings around this silly thing, even though it is silly.
Because that'll get to the root of it.
Then I can know what's up, and then we don't have to worry about it at all ever again. Or I'll be like, fuck man, you made me get in a relationship with you before I wanted to in like 3 years. And it's like, what? We were just like fighting over the TV remote.
Or
and that stuff. And that's, but if you can't create a container for honest communication and relationships super early on, like you're putting yourself, you're shooting yourself in the foot really, because it's going to come back up, man.
It's going to come back up. It's like whack-a-mole is the way I think of it. Like if you don't address relationship or otherwise, let's say it's something like, you know, you feel fear around like, you know, going to like a nudist beach or something, right? You don't want to do that. Okay. This is a really weird example. I was reading an article about hippie hollow earlier.
They came up a lot lately. I think they've been doing some advertising.
Okay, yeah. I saw it pop up on my Facebook or something.
All kinds of stuff. Yeah. I was like, damn, dude, hippie hollow. I was actually searching for photos of the hill country on Google for my retreat.
Came up?
And hippie hollow came up? It was like all over the place. And on Pinterest. And I was like, this is wild.
I don't know what they're doing.
I've looked for these photos before, never seen hippie hollow.
I need to get out there and do it. I'm into it. It sounds fun. It sounds like an experience.
Yeah.
So anyway, those types of things when you're like, that type of thing, and you're thinking, oh, I'm scared to do that, right? Or like, okay, well, why? Because if you go to, you end up forcing yourself and drink a couple beers and go to Hippie Hollow, you never solve that problem, and all that's going to happen is like a whack-a-mole. It's just going to pop up somewhere else in your life, right?
Yeah.
With anything.
Yeah, and if you understand, like, that's the thing about non-judgment, and too, like, non-judgment and compassion. It's like, yeah, if you generally judgment, fear, expectations, external expectations, or what caused those kind of boundaries on experience like I was speaking about earlier. And when you can broaden those out a little bit, you're like, oh, I have a little more freedom here. And if I don't like it, it's okay. Nothing's broken. I'm like, well, that was, and this is extremely crucial for relationships. Like, okay, let's create an experience where it's like, we're going to have, let's know that our relationship is going to change and evolve as we change and evolve.
Yeah.
We're going to, and if we don't let it do that, then it's going to fall apart probably, because we're pretending as though we're going to stay the same forever, and even though we know we're not going to, right? So it's like our conscious relationship, as the people love to say now, will evolve and change and have its own consciousness, as do we. If we have two individual beings and then one thing that they're made together, so it's creating that agreement early on that if we step outside and like try and challenge some boundaries in our relationship, that there needs to be this understanding of compassion for the other person and where they're coming from, and not being judgmental of that expression, right? And to a point, like, right, you want to take baby steps, don't go crazy, right? And a lot of people will be like, yeah, then just start fucking other people and you'll figure it out. And I'm like, well, slow down. Let's just chill. Maybe let's go to Hippie Hollow first, right?
And if
it feels weird, then it's okay. Let feel your feelings. Because one thing I tell with guys that I work with, man, in this lifestyle design program is like, listen, you're going to have feelings and you can feel your feelings and not be a bitch. Like, it's fine. And there's a lot of growth in that for you. If you can let yourself feel what's up and then express that and communicate that. And if you can do that early on, because it's probably going to be really silly, low hanging fruit stuff, that starts, like, you're down the path of being able to communicate deeper feelings. Like, well, then you get to that point where you're like, you know, a year or two in, and it's like, man, you know, I have a hard time trusting you when you leave for work because I have abandonment issues around this certain thing. And that's like super fucking heavy. And you can get into that and create, you know, maybe go see a relationship therapist, or maybe that person goes to therapy on their own. You're super fucking supportive and you're there for them. And you know, hey, like, I need to bring a version of myself to that situation that's extremely compassionate and not judgmental, because I don't know where the lens that they see the world through came from, but I know that this does hurt them and I love that person. Right. And if you can't ante up to do that, then you're in the wrong relationship, in my opinion. But I think there's something to be said for those early days when it's light and fun. Like, take advantage of that light and fun shit, mm-hmm. to have some, don't dampen it, but have some fun, light, like, this is where this comes from conversations, and it can be really, really beneficial.
What do you do in terms of you evaluating and breaking down your own choices and identity? What are your favorite tools to do that?
Man, favorite tools. Journaling is by far the journaling has been the most impactful practice that I've put into my life, maybe ever.
And how come?
And dude,
I agree, think, but I'm curious what you think.
It's morning. So I, yeah, is that your morning pages book?
No, I got the actual. I got the actual thing, man. I got morning pages journal. Like,
oh, that's awesome.
The one from Amazon, yeah.
Dude, I need to snag that. Yeah, actually got a journal come out on Amazon. Finally, I'm stoked about it. But so my girlfriend, like, a while back, probably, no, it's, I'm in my fourth year on the journal. So she gave me a 5-year journal. It's 5 lines a day journal. It's awesome. And it's 5 years stacked on top of each other, right? So what is today? The 22nd, right? So the 22nd will be like, and then when I journal about today, I'll see what happened a year ago, 2 years ago, and 3 years ago, right above that day, right? And I didn't do, it took me a while to get, probably about a year to make it a habit. And then once you get into the second year, it's really, really cool. And you're like, man, I've changed a lot since last year.
Yeah, that is
badass. It's either you like, I'm like, man, I changed a lot since last year in this day. And like, you start seeing patterns in your behavior. And then you're like, oh, whoa, that same shit is still bothering me. That was bothering me a year ago. Like, I should probably do something about that. Like, there's a lot of awareness came from that. And then for whatever reason, I don't even remember where I heard about it or whatever, started doing, oh, no. A friend of mine, she's actually the host of Motherhood Unstressed. Give her a shout out for being so awesome. She's been kind of like this feminine mentor to me. She's an amazing human being. She's just a beautiful soul, right? She was talking to me about morning pages. She's like, just write this out. Wake up in the morning and just write. And I was like, okay, cool. And I have no problem thinking of things to say and put it on paper. And there was something about making the noise in my head real, like making it tangible where I could fucking see it. And sometimes I'd write something down and be like, man, that really resonates with me. Like, that's really strong. Or I'd write something down and be like, man, that's complete horseshit. And you're lying to yourself, right? So I'd catch myself in that place. Mm-hmm. And that's why I liked it, especially for a masculine type of mindset, because it's very pragmatic and very real, but it also has this kind of feminine flowiness to it, right? So it doesn't have to mean anything. And that's one thing that's funny. People are like, I don't know what to write the first line down. Like, I'll figure out what their morning routine is. One guy would write down, he would start every day, one of the guys I was working with the song that was stuck in his head in the morning. I would just, and if you have a challenge, be like, whatever, like literally whatever on your mind, like the coffee tastes good today, or the coffee tastes bad today, or it's cloudy outside. Like, you can just.
Or I can't think of anything to say.
Exactly.
You can write it down. Yeah.
Yeah. It's fuck, man. And it's crazy. And then you go from there and just opening up. And that practice has been really great. And what I realized came up for me was that I would ask myself questions, which turned into me giving people journaling practices where they have prompts. So it's like free flowing prompts, which has turned into what I'm releasing, the intention journal that I'm releasing, the no bullshit journal, and then ultimately the design your life journal, which is a 3-year journal that's really similar to that 5-year one that I have, where you get to acknowledge the flexibility of your identity year after year by seeing how you express yourself and how that changes over time. And having reflection pieces in that. So it's a little bit more space to write And I'm like, that's one of those things where the other two journals are going to be really fun. They're 90 and 30 pages, so they're not as long.
Yeah.
And this other one is 400 pages, 3 years. Like, it's hefty. I'm going to make a leather one. Like, it's really, yeah. I'm really stoked on it.
Cool. I cannot. Like a little, like a belt buckle closure on it. Dude, I've always dreamed of having those. Man.
My Pinterest board is like lit up with ideas for this thing. And now, so it's greasing the groove for that distribution.
Yeah.
With the first two that are really valuable and really fun to get you started. And then it's like, okay, cool. I'm in the journaling now. Like, this is, I've seen the power in this. And the no bullshit journal is going to be so fun just because the prompts in there are like straight up calling you out. Like, let's go. It's only 30 pages. Like, let's go 30 days and just let's call yourself out on all your bullshit.
Like, what? What's the question?
I mean, I'm developing in them right now. But,
okay.
But one of them is, so who are you being? I like the word being a lot. Because as I say who you are, right? Well, then you attach who you might be in the future and who you might be in the past, whatever. Like, but who are you being right now? So one page of this, one section of this is a practice that I actually just podcasted about on one of my Design Your Life episodes on my show, The Realness. Shameless plug. Who are you being? It's question number one. And there's about a third of a page for that. Question two is, who are you being because somebody else wanted you to be that? And that's a challenging question.
Yeah.
And question three is, who the fuck do you want to be? And you just, the funny thing is, like, these don't seem like that. They're not that profound of a question. They're not, the everything that I do is not meant to be esoteric. Like, I have to explain what being means, but after that, you're off to the races.
Yeah, yeah, no, yeah. It's, well, you don't need to get that esoteric to have you sit down and have a total life reevaluation.
Yeah.
You know, who do you want to be?
Yeah. I mean, I like to preface that with those questions where it's like, well, who are you being right now?
Yeah.
Well, what components of that are influenced by someone outside of you? Not that's inspiring you, but that's making you feel a sense of lack in an area that you're overcompensating for, right? Those little things where it's like, there's a difference in me seeing somebody live a life that resonates and inspires me and emulating them in a way, in my own way, in my own flavor, in my own expression, versus having a relationship or connection where I feel like I'm not enough and I'm needing to seek validation, right? Approval and validation can be helpful. I think we're validation seeking animals, right?
But Instagram wouldn't be popular.
Exactly. Or it can be really, really dark. It has a shadow. It has a really, really dark shadow, which is
it's
like,
it's a balance, man.
Enough. Yeah, it's like, yeah, you have people around that you can trust. They can tell you, like, give you feedback. But
yeah,
you don't need to like be so attached to their validation of you because you don't know what the fuck's going on in their world.
Exactly, right? And it's taking, like, I think about this all the time too, of taking advice from people.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, you don't know, you got to really trust that person to be giving you advice based on who they really, they want to give you advice for you and not projecting. Even a good friend.
Preach, brother.
Yeah. Even a good friend can give you advice that they mean it from the deepest part of their heart they can get to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But there's some underlying shit that they're now projecting onto you without either you knowing.
Do you think that there's some insecurity there when people, like, somebody asked you for advice and
100%. And you're like, I do it sometimes. I catch myself doing it. And you don't know.
You're like, well, you don't really know. You don't really know if you have the best advice. Like, I see this a lot with influential best people. And that's one thing that I've had the pleasure and the honor of doing is seeing behind the fucking curtain over and over again. Like, I've essentially rode the wave of my personality to see through all kinds of bullshit. It's really fun. It's been really, really fun. And I'm an ENTP on the Myers-Briggs scale. So, like, they call me the debater or the devil's advocate.
Okay. I think I was the diplomat. So I think I was ENTJ
ENTJ. Yeah. I think I was the diplomat. So it's like, my whole thing is like, I like to break things down in a good way. I like to build them back up too. It's just like, I'm restorative.
Like, what is this peach?
I'm a natural.
Yes. You're like, what is this peach?
Exactly.
What does that mean? Connor Moore here discovering peaches.
The soft, supple peach.
Yeah.
Oh, the juiciness. Yeah. Where the fuck was I going with that? But, oh no, I'm going to see that. And I've seen a lot of people, like, they get attached to this idea that I'm a leader and I need to know what to say to these people. And one thing that I really always prided myself on after seeing that is, like, when someone asked me for advice on podcast gear, right? I don't tell them when I get what I got, because what I got was gifted to me and it was like $4,000. And I'm like, do you have $4,000 to spend? No. Okay, cool. Then, you know what I mean? It was like that was because I was in a situation where I was supported by some really awesome people. That's not because I don't know shit about audio. You just assume that I do because the audio on my podcast is really good. But the backstory is, that's somebody else, not me. right? That was somebody else's money. That was somebody else's situation. And it's like, I'm not ashamed of that, because it's like, I have this thing now and I earned it through work. Like, it was one of those things where it was like, it was a way of support, and I had really good connections, like my friends at Barbell Shrugged. Like, I got their same setup. So I love it. I think it's fantastic. But for me to give you advice on audio would be naive. So I went and sought that out from someone else. I created a podcast kit that I thought was adequate and really, that I've used before with other people. And like, this is the one you should get. If you're going to get it, it'll cost you like $900, mm-hmm. To get you started. And then there's things like that. And there's also like people that reach out to me for business advice and money advice. And I'm like, dude, again, I've ridden the fucking wave of my personality. Like, I am notoriously have no structure, but if I gave you advice, you would not know the difference, and you might fucking listen to it, and it would not serve you. It might serve you. I can give you objective advice from the outside on the way you're living your life and in your state of being in your business.
Yeah.
But if you're like, well, how do I make my podcast successful? I'm like, I don't know. Know a lot of popular ass people and have them on your show. You don't know much people with 250,000 Instagram followers, like. Well, then I don't know.
Yeah. I think, that's your first step, right?
It's like, that's what I'm saying. It's like,
that doesn't even help. I've had people on here with like 3 million followers.
Because you know what I was doing? A lot of people fucking say?
Doesn't do that much.
And I have no shame doing this. Like the Lewis Howes out there of the world. It's like, just never quit. Just never quit and always go for your dreams. And it's like, you don't know anybody's fucking situation, dude. Like,
it's a cop out. It's an easy way out. And here's the thing, like, and you know what? And this is what frustrates me about. I think we're doing very similar things in terms of like the 100%. Structure of what we're doing.
I'm going on some fucking rants, by the way. You got to get me fired up.
Dude, you're the best fucking podcast ever, because I can just chill and like throw you a softball and then go. A lot of the times I'm like stressing over here, like, all right, where are we going to go next with this? You're fucking great, man. I'm going to have you on every week.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
Man.
No, what I think, what were we just talking about?
It's a cop-out. The cop-out of never quit working. Yeah,
self-help and self-development, I hate even being remotely associated with that, because there's so many people out there that are doing exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
They're just throwing fucking advice at people without any real certification, without asking any questions. They're just throwing, don't quit. Yeah,
keep it up.
You know, like, the struggle
is... Post to Instagram every day.
Yeah, like, the reward is worth the struggle, you know? Like, the struggle makes the reward worth it, or, like, whatever. There's people that just, like, then they go on stage and they give all this advice and you're like... It's an easy way to make a lot of money.
Yep.
And it's a profitable business. It's like a $1 billion industry. And same with coaching, which is something I've thought about doing, something I think you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been very hesitant about that too, because there's a lot of fucking like just swinesters out there.
And
I don't think that's the right word.
No,
like,
it is.
Swinester? Swine, like a pig?
Yeah. Swindlers, maybe.
Swindler, there we go. Like swinester, though. Yeah.
No, I think there's something there. And the thing about it is that where the compassion piece comes into play, just because I'm, super deep into Buddhism and stuff.
What's up, ladies? I'm super deep.
Yeah, so I meditated before I came up here. Are you supposed to tell people that you meditated? I don't know. But no, I think that this piece is like, they're doing the best they can. Right. And even if you're Ty Lopez and you're kind of a tool, like, that dude's doing the best he can. If you look at through the lens of like, man, that guy's doing the best he can. And he is making a lot of money, and that's cool. And he has like Ferraris that he like tries to act nonchalant about, but really means
he's
the
actually
world
a
to
really
him.
Smart guy. I listened to a on
he's a smart dude.
What's
he
that?
Wouldn't
Tom,
be there if
Tom
he wasn't.
Bilalou. Bill you. Yeah, Impact Theory.
Impact Theory, yeah.
Yeah, I saw him on that, and I was impressed.
Yeah, he's a smart dude.
He's a smart dude.
He wouldn't be there if he was.
And you know what? Like, his YouTube tactics, right?
They
everyone
work.
Talks about him because he came off as a douche on purpose.
Yeah.
So everyone talks about him and they work. So then you're like, this guy's actually like Trump. Like, well, is this guy actually a genius or is he an idiot?
It's like Kanye to me. Right?
Exactly.
One day I was like, man, dude, I fucking hate Kanye. This is like years ago. And I was like, actually, Kanye wants me to hate Kanye. God, he got me. Damn it.
Dude. It's like we were talking about with Iron John. Like, they're on level 10, man. They've like, interplayed 5 different levels on your consciousness, and you're still up here trying to think of...
It's Mr. Miyagi, dude. Wax on, wax
off. Yeah, man.
It's so crazy. And then that's the thing is being very genuine. Like, you say that I do some coaching. Like, I actually say I don't coach. I'm very clear about what I can do with lifestyle design. And we have six weeks, 1 hour a week, and we can talk in between those via email and whatever. If you need to call me or whatever, we can have a good time. And the thing about it is, like, my purpose is to... help you see yourself more clearly, see yourself through me, be a really, really good listener, ask really good questions, because all the answers are inside of you, like deep in your psyche, that you know what's going on.
100%.
You're maybe a little bit blind to it, and you just need to sidestep a little bit and just change your perspective a little bit, man. I mean, I've had guys go to, these are guys that are retired at 40 and have no financial woes and are just trying to figure out what to do next, go to ecstatic dance. Doesn't seem relevant at all, but it breaks you outside of your normal pattern of thinking and you don't have any control there. You're just letting yourself completely free. And that's why Tony Robbins seminars are so great, because people can scream and yell and touch each other and like mostly not inappropriately, but like hug and like just
get
be
primal,
and they've been living in a fucking box forever. And you can unleash the power within. You can like,
Have you been?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And nice. I was young. I was like 23, so I didn't really get it, but I got what I knew. It was also a very beautiful spot for me to be in because I was loving my life at the time, right? I was like a CrossFit coach and making pretty good money. I got sent to this thing by the people at CrossFit Central, and I got to see these people who had literally been living in a fucking cube and traveling for work and just run down people in their 40s, like, get to fucking let it go. And I was like, oh, I get it. This doesn't really make sense for me. Like, this isn't really for me. There's good information here. I think Tony Robbins has fucking amazing things to say. I actually like listening to his audio stuff better than I liked his actual seminar. But people got to fucking let loose, man. And that's why, I have these frat guys that come through that are like young professionals. Go to their first yoga class. You're going to have to meet somebody that's way different than what you're used to. I fucking had a guy that came to town. We did like a deep dive for like four sessions. Finance guy. He was about to move over to Sweden. It was like, and we had talked about it, and he had dated the same type of girl like four times in a row, and with the same results, same patterns. I'm like, you are committing to the type of human being that you thought you liked when you were 16, bro. Like, if you committed to the video games that you thought you liked when you were 16, you would be so bored right now. But you're doing that over and over again.
There's way better graphics.
Go out with a yoga teacher. Go out with somebody who's super weird. That's like just out there, and then you get to have a connection with them. And human connection is beautiful, dude. You can learn so much through that. I don't even know how we got there, but
never backtrack.
No,
never backtrack.
Nothing you want is upstream.
Yeah, you can't, dude. Once you get on like these branches on the outside, you just kind of like keep going on them.
We're just out there.
Yeah, you just keep going on them.
Yeah. So there's something about expanding that experience. But, oh no, that's what I was talking about. Lifestyle design is. I encourage people to do that, and I have a fuck ton of resources because I've been in this game for a while, and I've seen, like I said, I've seen behind the curtain, and I feel super comfortable in the advice that I give people.
What do you mean behind the curtain?
When I say, like, what you said, like, these people, everybody looks at them and asks them for all these questions as if they're a guru, right?
I've seen
behind that and be like, well, that's real. I've seen enough of those people that are just real people, right? Obviously, I know a lot of people that are influential in that world. So I'm like, okay, cool, that's a real I've been able to humanize all these people that most people don't get a chance to do that with, and see their real practices and what really works and how they really are. Like, I'll tell you right now, one person that impresses the fuck out of me on a daily basis, every time I don't talk to him every day, but just with the way he brings himself to the world, is JP Sears.
The long-haired guy,
ultra spiritual dude.
Yeah,
that guy is the most real deal influential person in that media world that I've ever encountered. Like, super tapped in. Like, you wouldn't even, and I don't say that about many people at all. Like, this guy is the real deal, and he's genuine in everything he does. It's so crazy, because you don't think that when you see somebody like, well, I'm kind of tarnished now. Dude, the guy kills it. Love that guy.
Yeah, and I always wonder how people get to that point. You know, like, what? I always wonder, like, did they drink a magic potion as a kid?
His story's great, dude.
But you know, when you meet people like that, but there's just something else to them that they just have a little more of the realness to them,
It's the suffering, man.
It's
just like Westworld.
Yeah, I don't know. Because I know some people that I know their whole story, and like, they just are very, very real on a different level than I feel like, than the rest of us almost.
Yeah.
And I always wonder how they got there.
You know, that's a really good question. I think that authenticity is a really interesting thing to explore, right? Because authenticity, and I can speak for this, and I don't say that I'm authentic because it's a buzzword, right? Like, I've been putting myself out there for a lot of years, you know, I mean, a little over a decade now of like, and being in front of people and expressing myself in that way and being in front of crowds. And there's definitely been some ego there, and there's definitely been some petty bullshit. And there's been a lot of learning, but I was always me for the most part. And when I've lost that, I feel like I'm dying inside. Like I work with this guy named Dan from Declare and Deliver, it's Mind Tribes. It's this group coaching program, and it's really fantastic. And he goes, from the sounds of it, you're being inauthentic. And it called me out for something, and I was like, holy fucking shit, I am. And that dude, it's been 2 months of me like spiraling into the depths of like all the
this just lack happened of integrity. Recently?
Yeah, I'm in it right now.
What was it that you were being inauthentic about?
How I was bringing myself to my relationships, my friendships, and who I was being in that place. That's where a lot of stuff comes from. Is who I was being in those relationships. And you know, I have a mantra. I believe a lot in mantras, and some of mine are funny. Like chill, bro, is like a mantra to me, and I'll like chant that sometimes. And one of them is remember who you are, which is like I didn't realize from Lion King, which is like one of the best movies of all time. Remember.
Oh yeah, Simba. Mufasa says that, huh?
Yeah. So, but there's one thing is like,
oh, and then like comes up in the clouds and shit after he dies.
Yeah, and he puts it on the wall. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. It's really, really cool, and I think that there's something to be said about that, like really tapping, like, oh, dude, who am I underneath all of this? But being able to bring that version of yourself forward, I don't know where it comes from, but I do know a handful of people that really have a grasp on it.
And
it's, I think
it's incredible.
I think it comes out of necessity, man, because it's inconvenient. Like being very, putting yourself out there, and I think if you're introverted and super authentic, like you can get away with it a little bit easier. But if you have that desire to like make noise and have a thing, like, and if you're 6'4" and 220 pounds and you like to bust weights and like you're a big bro, and I'm speaking about myself, like people are going to come at you and be like, oh, this guy's a fucking douche. This guy's arrogant. This guy's conceited. And I'm like, and literally I wake up at 5 o'clock every morning just wanting to make people's lives better, you know, and I do it in a really goofy way. But the funny thing is that goofy style of meeting people where they are has helped me help a lot of people, and I would take all the hate I could muster just because the people that show up and I'm like, oh, hey, cool, their guard's down because they're in a very vulnerable situation because they're coming into a CrossFit gym for the first time. They don't know what the fuck they're going to do, and they're overweight, and they're ashamed of themselves, and they think they want to lose weight, and they don't know why the relationship with food is all fucked, and they have some big goofball like cutting jokes and like making them do funny things and like laughing a little bit. Then, oh, dude, I could take myself a little bit less seriously. Well, you know what happens in that space where you take yourself less seriously? Compassion can sneak in there, and when compassion sneaks in that space, life gets a fuck of a lot easier.
Yeah, that's true, isn't it? Taking yourself less seriously is probably one of the most powerful practices you can do.
Fuck, dude. Yeah.
So I think as you were talking, I was thinking of how just that it all ties back to the big grand Mr. Ego, because I'm thinking of the people I know that are the most authentic and legit authentic, mm-hmm. right? And take themselves not as serious as other people. And it's because their ego isn't in the way. And now that's another question where why is that? You know, nature and nurture and circumstances yeah. and stuff like that. But some of the people I'm thinking of in my head, one of them was an old firefighter friend of mine I've had on this podcast, Booney.
Yeah.
And he just didn't have as much of an ego. And that's why he was the best leader I've ever seen in my life. You know, he didn't have as many of those blocks. Mm-hmm. The way he was just born and raised, that his, you know, his genetic template. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I talked to him about it on the podcast too. Now that I'm thinking about it,
what did he say? What was his response?
I mean, I was just, you know, he has no response to it. He doesn't know either. He's just like, this is just me. He doesn't know. But I'm perplexed by those types of people, because that's the, I think the biggest difference is that he just doesn't have those blocks that a lot of us have.
The ego is funny, man. Because I've had a hard time. Because people ask me this kind of stuff. Because that's, like I say, you know, a purveyor of authenticity. Like, I just love authentic expression is, yeah. to me, the goal, right? Like, that's living. You can live a fulfilling life through authentic expression, regardless of what that expression is, because right. it's going to be variable and subjective to you. Like, that's your whole thing. That's the whole point. Like, I don't have a template for you. I have a style of approaching that, but I don't, you know, I don't have boxes for you to check necessarily, because that's just, that's not authentic in itself.
And that is, I think, well said, because that is what I think the self-help
yes, a lot of times.
Brand
yeah.
and the self-help genre tries to project that they can give you this checklist.
Well, they want you to be, a lot of times they want you to be a victim this. So they can heal you.
Exactly. No, yeah, sorry, no, exactly. Yeah. No, that's 100% it. Yeah. It gets a twisted mind
yeah,
fuck.
Yeah, man. It gets,
but yeah, you're right.
It
there is no checklist for it.
Exactly. And the thing about the ego is that
if someone else's checklist, then it's never going to be your expression, because it's someone else's checklist.
Yeah. And someone else can help you make your own checklist. That's
yeah, and
a different conversation.
You saying that making questions, like I've done sales before, right?
Mm-hmm.
And sales, there's no sales in sales. There's not. There's asking questions and listening. And then by the time you get to the point where like there's something for them to buy, it makes sense. Like, they're going to buy it because you ask them questions and listen to what they need, and then you just solve their problem with the product. And same thing with figuring things out or coaching people or whatever. Like, it's just like you said, asking them questions.
Yep.
And then you listen, and then you ask another question, and then they speak, and then they kind of figure it out on their own.
Yeah.
But you're just like a little guide.
Yeah.
It's all the same stuff.
Oh, dude.
Like, there's no coaching in coaching.
No,
you know?
No,
like, there's no sales. There's no selling in sales.
Mostly listening.
It's just, yeah, and it's just questions, you know.
And it's holding a non-judgmental space. Like I was saying, like I've actually
that's a big point. Yeah.
And I think that's one of the things. Like with it comes to the ego coming up, is like the ego's not going anywhere. Okay, you need it. It's actually super important. Mm-hmm. Having a relationship with it and understanding what's bullshit and what's not. Like, having a bullshit meter on yourself is really important. I think that's where it comes. I think that's where that comes from. Like, good leaders, in my opinion, and I'm not talking about vision. Visionaries and leaders to me are two different things. And a lot of times you don't have one that's both. If you get one that's both, that's a unicorn, right? Because visionaries create out there things. Like, we talk about the Steve Jobs of the world, Steve Jobs wasn't a great leader, but he was a hell of a visionary.
Yeah.
Right. And sometimes CEOs are visionaries and COOs are leaders. Just how it goes.
Yeah.
But I think great leaders, if you read like Leaders Eat Last by Simon Sinek, he talks a lot about this, and it's really, really beautifully said in his book, way better than I'm going to say it, but you have a relationship with this, having a bullshit meter on yourself, like knowing, like, can I listen to everybody else before I state my opinion, or does my opinion need to go first and everybody else's opinions need to be in alignment with or out of alignment? Are they agreeing or disagreeing with me?
Yeah.
Now, because I've set it up a duality, and this funny thing that happens, man, because people get fucking jaded when they're in power. Absolute power corrupts absolutely, where they think that people will be honest with them if that person is responsible for their fucking paycheck, and that is fucking delusional, even if it's subconscious. I've had this argument over and over again where I'm like, no, dude, if this person, for most people of the world, they're going to lean towards, maybe I shouldn't say something to my boss, because I don't want to lose my fucking job.
Yeah.
I don't want to start that slippery slope of like, what if happened? They're going to question me and then whatever. It's like, no. So you have to understand, like, you have to create a very, very strong container for honesty and feedback, and you have to be willing to be wrong. And that takes a healthy relationship with your ego.
And knowing when you are actually wrong versus when somebody else is wrong. And like, you need to stand up for yourself. That's a whole other playground, you know?
One thing that's fun for people on the show that listen to the show is go, and if you have a journaling practice, I'm sure you talked about, define stand up for yourself. That's fun as hell. I actually did that a while back. I was like, what does it mean to stand up for yourself?
I would say, let me try.
Yeah, go for it.
I would say to stand up for yourself is to defend, if we want to use authenticity, I was going to say like defend your spirit, or like defend your own self, or like defend your authenticity when appropriate.
Yeah. I like that.
And knowing when is, I think, is the key point.
You know, when it's appropriate.
Defending your truth.
Yeah.
Defending your truth.
I had a conversation that I felt like I was standing up for myself, and it was like, I'm not going to let you woo me into your way of thinking, man. And I had,
that's what you said to the other person?
No, that's not what I said in my words. That's what it was like. That's what I said different words, but that's what I was saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the one thing that's funny about relationships and coming to stand up for yourself is that that means that you're, by that definition, you're shifting the way that you're bringing yourself, your state of being in a relationship. Mm-hmm. Because you have to look at, like, you set the agreement for how people treat you. Like, you're responsible for how people treat you. If somebody doesn't treat you well and you allow it, well, then you might as well be treating yourself like shit. Right. And so if you go to shift that, then that's where this, like, the standing up for myself comes in. Right. And to me, when I broke it down, it was like, okay, that means I can be grounded and stand tall with no one else and be fully who I am. And if I want to move forward and I need support, well, I can have support and I can reach out for support and I can be from that place.
Right.
But I don't need anybody else's validation. A lot of times it's what happens. I don't need anybody else's validation to help me stand up.
Right. Right.
Sometimes I need to let them know that.
Yeah.
And that's really, really interesting, because I'd like to fucking walk arm in arm with people and like crush it, you know, in the metaphorical sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's great too. But at the end of the day, like, I want to be able to bring a fully grounded, tall standing self that doesn't really exist. The self.
It doesn't.
But it does, and it doesn't.
It does.
Because,
and
whatever.
It doesn't. It's both, and it's nothing.
just sidetrack myself.
Shadows and dust, Maximus. Shadows and dust.
Exactly. But yeah, to be able to bring a full version of myself to whatever I can do in the world, and sometimes I'm wrong. sometimes I'm wrong about the way that I let people treat me, and I create relationships that don't serve me, and I gotta change that agreement or let it go or both.
Yeah,
it's fucking wild, man. Like, human connection is such a human connection incredible. Geeks me out. Like, it's really like just watching the way people connect with each other and how you can like see it on them is,
oh man, it's, you know,
wild.
And yeah, people, man, and the dynamics between like power dynamics when you get like in a structure, mm-hmm. you know, oh, or dude. Like even like you groupthink? And I meeting for the first time, like, okay, cool, how is that dynamic played out versus if I was to see someone, you saw somebody you've known for 10 years,
yeah,
but you haven't seen them in 2 years, or mm-hmm. you see them every day, or yeah. it's an old romantic relationship, or it's a new one,
yeah,
or it's a little kid, or it's like a bold boss, or now is he your yeah. boss, and like there's all these dynamics constantly. Dude,
it's like when you ever like see somebody and you're with somebody, like you're with somebody you know currently, and you see somebody from the past, and then you act like you used to act.
Oh, dude.
And then the person you're with that knows you now is like, what the fuck are you doing?
Wait, so like, you know Ram Dass?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he said, if you think you're enlightened, go spend a weekend with your parents.
Yeah.
Because yeah. it's true, man. Yeah, as soon as you... Who did this happen to?
But I've had... being a bratty little shithead.
I've had, yeah. Or like, you go back with your... Yeah, if you go back with your parents or your siblings or... I've had quite a few people say like, hey, whenever we hang out with them, like, you act like a different person. And I'm like... Fuck, like
that's
I
where
do.
I was. That's where my that's where the inauthenticity. I don't want to yeah. say my, but the that's, that's where hard. I was bringing it up at. Yeah,
I think it's really hard for. Yeah. I'm a really social guy. You are too, and so I think like through osmosis, I pick up, and it's a really good skill. Mm-hmm. It's a strength, but in a lot of ways, I easily just like take on the environment, you know, and yeah. then like you said, you just start talking like you used to or acting like you used to, and you're like, what the fuck, I thought I came so far.
Yeah.
You know,
it's nice reminders, man, that we're, you know, it's all, it's not as linear as we like to believe.
I
it
know
is.
Man,
it's wild though, dude. It's a trip, man. Yeah, we it's a blessing to be able to live a life like this, you know, and it's fuck, man, it's look hard. Like yeah, we're sitting under a tree with a little Buddha,
chilling, man.
Just chilling, dude. Little peace sign Buddha.
Should we name him?
I don't know. I think he's got a name. We could name him the Bodhisattva Peace Bodhisattva. Yeah, dude, it really is. And we get to connect with people, and you're doing yourself and everyone that you can connect with a disservice by not being who the fuck you actually yeah, are.
Very true.
It's wild. And that seems so, like, cheesy to say, like it belongs on a meme, but it's like, I don't know, man.
There's
it seems, it's like the best stuff comes up over and over again over time, right? Like, you look at Buddhism, and then you look at Stoic philosophy, and then you look at like the subtle art of not giving a fuck. They're not that different.
No,
it's just a different way of saying the same thing to resonate with a different 100%. Audience. And that's, as we were talking about earlier, like these bridges, like being a bridge to the people that you can connect with and that you can impact. Damn, that's fun.
Yeah,
you know? And that may be through spreadsheets, that may be through podcasts. Like, who knows? Maybe both. Maybe a podcast about spreadsheets. But whatever, right? It's like, who cares? Well, if that's the way you want to do your thing, if yeah. you want to go to the nudist colony, like, get after it, man. Expand yourself, and let's see what's up.
Well said, dude. Well, shit, dude. It's been an hour.
Wow, we laid
yeah,
it down.
Yeah, man, dude. Fucking great. Well said at the end there, too. Tell people where they can find you and stuff.
Man,
you got your cool podcast.
The Realness?
It used to be the Pleasure Monkey, and you switched it.
Yeah, we rebranded. We hit him with
I like the Realness better.
Yeah,
pull up a seat with Alex Starr.
Really?
Just to get it started. And then about a year and a half ago, I switched it to Rewrite the Rules. Yeah, same thing.
Dude. I like that better.
Yeah.
It's a good improvement. And that's the thing. The Pleasure Monkey came from you know, the origins of this whole thing. And it was just kind of this free-flowing thing. And it started to take shape. And I actually came up with the term The Realness in 2011. It was our first CrossFit blog back in the day,
cool,
when I was
dude,
coaching.
Yeah.
And it was I would post like videos that I thought were appropriate, and I would comment on them. And it was like an extension of my coaching. And I actually have a kettlebell with The Realness painted on it downstairs. And nice. I was talking about changing the podcast name. And someone goes, I just really like the realness of it. And I was like, the realness? I was like, huh. And I went downstairs. I forgot I had that kettlebell down there. And I was like, that's enough synchronicity for me. Like, I'm gonna make this thing happen.
Nice.
And it just became that's what I think about. That's what I bring to the show is just authentic, genuine conversations. That's if I have a talent in the world, it's creating that space for genuine connection. So speaking of spaces for that connection, the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, the YouTube is at Connor Moore. And then we have the Realness community on Facebook, which is really fun. We're approaching 1,000 people.
I saw it, dude. Yeah,
yeah,
it's pretty badass.
921, I think, today is when I checked it out. I got a few requests need to go clear, but that's a place where I do Facebook Lives weekly on Wednesdays, just jumping in and connecting with the community. And like I said, sometimes people ask me questions, and it's so fun. I love when people ask me questions about, like, foreign affairs and like finance. I'm like in Bitcoin. I'm like, dude, I don't know. Have you ever listened to my podcast? Like, yeah. I've never spoken about this one time.
Yeah. But maybe you can put them in touch with somebody who does.
Yeah. Well, somebody will usually, and that's the fun thing is that people will chime in and like they'll create relationships off the side. But it's cool to have that big group of people where you can just get it together. And then we got a retreat coming up here in Austin. It's gonna be fun as hell. So,
oh, cool, man.
All kinds of fun stuff. But if you really want to get connected, the Realness Community on Facebook's where it's at, and then checking out the podcast on iTunes and all the fun stuff, and leave it a 5-star. Our review is always very, very appreciated.
You always gotta do it. And while you're there, leave one for mine too.
Hey, of course, man.
Right on, brother. Well, thanks so much for coming out and enjoying this beautiful evening.
Yeah, dude, I appreciate it. It's always fun to connect.
Hanging
man.
Out, dude.
All right, brother. See you soon. You can
cut them out of it. I don't know what that word is. See you soon. Later. All right, guys. That was Connor Moore. Once again, check him out. His podcast is called The Realness. His website is gettherealness.com. And he just came out with a intention journal as well. I totally forgot to mention that at the beginning. But he has an intention journal. You can get on there and just doing a retreat and a lot of really cool stuff going on with him. He's a really neat guy. So anyway, love y'all. And shoot me a DM, an email. Y'all know where to find me. Love you guys very much. And I am about to go to sleep. See ya.